Now in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, the News Corporation Company. In another logo, a flipbook of red cards reveals the animated silhouette of a jester catching a staff. The final card fits between two words, Red Hour. Now words appear. This is a true story. Only the facts have been changed. Our view sweeps over verdant mountains. Two scarlet macaws fly side by side.
I love birds. Who doesn't love birds?
A rooster perches on a roof.
Ah, sure, they'll wake you up in the morning. Or ruin the fruit in your garden. And sometimes, of course, they'll crap on your car. But they're beautiful. And they fly. And they're capable of incredible things.
Birds dive underwater after fish.
Take a little sooty shearwater of Tasmania, for example.
A dark bird glances around.
Before setting out on his first migration to Hawaii, he has to shed half of his body weight.
The bird soars into the air.
Me, I probably should have shed half my body weight, too.
Now a chubby man grabs a piece of cake.
And I was trying. I really was.
He eats in his cubicle.
Okay, maybe I wasn't trying that hard. Because the truth is, being thin was never really my dream. No, I wanted to do something even more amazing.
Yo, Big Bad Brad. What you rocking out to, man?
Brad's coworker takes an offered earbud and listens.
Clark's Nutcracker.
He furrows his brow at Brad.
I wanted to be the greatest birder in the world. Seriously.
Rock on.
Rock on, Prasad.
He makes devil horns with his pinky and forefinger.
How do you become the greatest birder in the world? You have to win the big year. What's a big year? Here, I'll let this English guy tell you.
A title appears, a brief history of the big year.
Well into the 19th century, Americans celebrated Christmas Day with contests to kill the most birds in a single day. In 1900, Audubon Society ornithologist Frank Chapman suggested Americans should count them instead, leading eventually to the creation of the Big Year, a competition to see the greatest number of birds in North America in a calendar year.
A blonde man peers through binoculars.
Whoa! In 2003, New Jersey roofing contractor Kenny Bostick's Big Year resulted in an astonishing 732 species, breaking Sandy Kamita's North American record. Many believe that Bostick's record of 732 would stand forever, especially Mrs. Bostick.
Montclair, New Jersey.
Kenny, you promised me you were never gonna do another big year.
Jess, I'm just going out to set the pace. I promise I'll be back as soon as I'm sure there's no one out there who can break my record.
Oh, your record? What's the big deal?
The big deal? Hey, Lance Armstrong, what's the big deal? Or hey, Columbus, what's the big deal with that whole new world thing?
Didn't you tell me that a big year killed your marriage to Steph in 03?
First of all, I was married to Bridget in 03.
Well, didn't you tell me that a big year killed your marriage to Bridget?
A contributing factor, but no, not the main reason. There were so many other problems with that marriage.
Kenny, I'm getting fertility treatments. And you promised. You said you were going to build a new room for the baby.
I know. That was before El Nino. Now I'm really worried someone's going to try to beat 732.
Bostick was right. Somebody was going to try to beat 732. Yours truly. Of course, I wasn't the only challenger for the title. I didn't know it at the time, but up in New York, a rich executive named Stu Preisler was also making plans for a big year.
We're still nowhere on the deal. Kemal won't budge on any key points. McIntyre used to work for you. Maybe if you negotiated with him directly.
Sorry, guys. January 1st, I'm out of here.
Oh, right. You're retiring again.
Again.
Stu sits at his desk.
This time, I mean it. Next year is all about the birds. Edith's already in Colorado setting up the new house.
So live in the new house and work from home. Use the jet. I mean, it's your jet. It's your company.
Forget the birds.
You're big boys now. You'll be fine without me.
You realize, of course, that the phase after retirement looks a little bit like this?
He mimes being dead.
Stu was torn. He ruled a vast empire. His days were full. His opinions mattered. Was he really ready to move on?
Am I nuts, Edith? Maybe I should do my big year next year. It might make more sense.
At his house in Vail.
No. Go do it now, Stu. Carpe annum.
Seize the...
year.
So that's it? Complete support? You're not even going to try and stop me?
Stu, I love you, and I will miss you dearly when you're away. But you have been dreaming about this since you were a little boy, and I am not going to stand between you and your greatest passion.
Stu steps forward and embraces Edith.
Not my greatest passion.
Now he and his wife and their party guests raise glasses.
Happy New Year!
A man with boyish features holds up a hand.
Excuse me. I just want to make a little toast to my folks.
Hey, okay.
To my dad, who proved today that he can still kick my ass on skis.
Hey, I let you win a few just to keep you hanging around.
My childhood in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. And to my mom, who had the vision and confidence to design a house with enough room for grandchildren.
If you build it, they will come.
Yes, and in this case, sometime around the middle of May.
He puts an arm around his wife.
That's why she was tossing her cookies all month.
You're not the only one having a big year, Dad.
Congratulations.
Hey.
January 1st, Bostick pours himself coffee.
Day one. Bostick was up before dawn, focused and ready.
Narva hotline, give your code word at the beep.
Great gray owl.
There has been a second spotting of the Nutting's flycatcher in Patagonia Lake State Park.
Now four skiers stop on a slope.
1,000 miles away, Stu was up early too, though not quite as focused.
You ready?
To the bottom?
You're on, old man.
We'll see about that. Edith, count us off.
On your mark, get set, go!
Stu and his son take off down the mountainside.
You'd think they'd be exhausted by now.
They're men, dear. If they ever stop competing, they die.
Meanwhile, Bostick pulls into the state park.
To win a big year takes experience, determination, and patience. To win a second big year, you gotta be obsessed.
He hangs a handicap parking pass on his rearview mirror, then jumps out of the car.
Bostick began his big year on fire.
He races into the woods.
He knew that most birders couldn't afford to challenge him.
On a mountain, a man spies on a bird.
Some of us had already been derailed by injury.
A skier crashes into him.
While others had seen their nest eggs depleted.
Dad, I got into Yale.
The girl's father drops his head into his folded arms.
Still, Bostick was relentless. He knew that potential rivals lurked behind every tree and bush.
Reaching a lake's edge, he spots a bird through his binoculars.
Bingo.
Turning, he sees a massive birder snapping shots of his find.
What would you guys do without me?
In Colorado, Stu and his son ski side by side down a slope. Swerving off to the side, Stu skids to a stop. The son looks over.
You okay?
Third time!
A tally appears, clicking from 0 to 1. The tally ticks to 2. Now an SUV screeches to a halt and Stu snaps a photo out his window. The tally clicks to 3. Later, Stu packs his belongings into an SUV.
Spot something rare for me.
You know I will.
Stu's day one tally shows 29. At the park, Bostick returns to his car. His eyes widen and he races back into the woods. As his camera flashes, his day one tally clicks from 30 to 31. Now a view through binoculars shows a flock of seagulls. Standing at an office window, Brad lowers the binoculars and sighs. His day one tally clicks to 1. Later, he sits at the dinner table with his father.
I have some exciting news. I'm going to be working as a travel agent again.
For who?
Smiling, Brad's mom sits.
For Brad. I'm handling his travel for the next year.
Travel? Travel where?
I'm doing a big year, Dad. Spending the year trying to see as many different species of bird as I can.
His dad lifts his brow.
I've been dreaming about this for a long time. This is my year. I've saved $5,000, and I'm gonna need 5 more, and I was wondering if you'd consider sponsoring me?
Sponsoring you?
I'd pay you back with interest. Think of it as an investment.
An investment? Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sounds like a great investment. I just hope word doesn't get out. All the neighbors will want a piece of the action.
Brad releases his fork.
You know what? Forget it. I'm going to do it myself, so.
You're 36 years old. You quit grad school. You quit your job at Dell. You quit your marriage. Sooner or later, you're going to have to actually do something with your life.
This is what I'm doing!
But I guess you got it all figured out. That's why your whole life has been nothing but bliss.
Brad storms off, now with his boss.
Bill, Tower 1's good to go. I'll debug the rest when I get back Monday.
Yeah, that bird thing, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll bet you time and a half to work this weekend and catch us up. That ought to pay for a lot of airfare, right?
Thanks, Bill, but I'm already getting a late start as it is.
So what do you win? Is there prize money?
No prize money, but the birdseed endorsements are huge.
Seriously?
No.
Okay, so why do you do it?
You know, it's kind of hard to explain.
You know what's hard to explain?
He shows a photo of two kids.
To them? A core meltdown of the new reactor that irradiates the entire Atlantic coast.
Brad turns away.
Double time.
He halts.
And that's unprecedented.
Okay, but I am definitely leaving on the 20th.
February 13th, day 44.
Give your code word at the beep.
Red-tailed hawk.
Stu drives.
A Xanthus hummingbird has been seen in a backyard in Gibson's, British Columbia. The Xanthus is code 5.
He brakes. A plane flies. A car arrives outside a Victorian-style house. Stu passes through its gate and spots a sign, stay on path. Another reads, please ring bell for key. As an old woman answers the door, words appear, Gibson's, British Columbia.
How do you do, ma'am? I was wondering if...
The hummingbird's out there now. Let me just get you the key to the gate.
Bostic arrives behind Stu.
I've been meaning to ask one of you people, do you have to get a snapshot of the bird?
Bostic runs to the back of the house.
No, believe it or not, it's all on the old-fashioned honor system.
She offers the key, then pulls it back.
But you just have to say you saw it?
No, in fact, if you can recognize a bird by its song, you just have to hear it.
Bostic climbs over a fence.
But I see everybody with a camera.
Well, you really want to photograph if it's a rare one, same
Bostic
as you would
runs back to his
Hall.
Car, his tally ticking to 159. The woman gives Stu the key.
I'll bring it right back.
In the heavy downpour, Bostic's car peels away. As Stu follows the drenched path to the fence, he answers his cell phone.
This is Stu.
Stu, it's Barry. I'm here with Jim and the lawyers.
We just need a little help.
The key sticks in the gate's
Stu.
Lock.
Stu?
He tries ramming the gate with Stu? His shoulder as his associates listen.
God damn it. I hope we're not catching you at a bad time.
As a matter of fact...
Look, we need a little expert guidance. We've reached an impasse with Chemwalt.
They don't it's going to, south, Stu.
They don't want to give up their production facilities in Nevada.
Hold out. Their R&D is prehistoric.
It's all about the real estate. Look, I gotta go. I'm about to miss
a code 5.
No. What the hell's he talking about? Birds.
Trying to climb the wood plank fence, Stu steps on a garden gnome posted at the gate. As he scans the garden, the ceramic sculpture shatters under his weight. Stu turns to find the hummingbird flying over the gate. His jaw drops as the emerald-hued bird hovers over his head. In slow motion, we watch the beats of its tiny wings. As it flies off, Stu beams after it and his tally ticks up to 158. February 20th, Joshua Tree, California. Brad snaps photos as a skinny man in a turban seated nearby uses a laptop to write a blog titled The Joy of Birding with Ichabod Cranes.
One of the greatest birders I've ever seen? Me? Crane, I'm touched.
Do you ever think about doing a big year? You could be the next Bostic.
Brad abruptly turns away, listening.
Not to toot my own horn, but I could do something pretty extraordinary. Western tanager.
Climbing down off a boulder, he loses his footing and falls. Landing, he crawls along the ground, then flops over and snaps photos of a bird in flight. His tally ticks to 132.
With just a few notes, I could recognize hundreds of species by song alone.
February 22nd, Coos Bay, Oregon, on a dock.
Hey, all you birders, I'm Annie Auckland. If you haven't sailed with me before, yep, that's my real name. I love those seabirds so damn much, I had it legally changed in 1990. Now, a couple of rules. If you can't swim, wear a life jacket. Rule number 2.
Annie's eyes narrow as Bostic approaches.
I'm in charge of this itinerary. And if you have a problem with that, you can take your candy-colored butt and put it right back in the rental car. All right, come on, line up.
What is that all about?
Well, back in 03, Annie stopped a boat to look at a whale, and Bostic let him in.
A flashback.
But no one's paying to see Shamu.
Get the hell off my bridge.
Just show us under some feathers or let me steer this
Annie
thing.
Draws
get
a knife.
You're gonna cut me, pal. Because we won't look at your
I'll
whale.
I'll you for chump.
You're crazier than a road lizard.
He kind of had a point.
No, he is in violation of all the unwritten rules for decorum and civility.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it takes to be the greatest birder on Earth.
Or maybe it just takes adding a few birds to your list that perhaps you never saw.
Whoa.
Are you saying Bostic's a cheater?
I'm just saying to be wise. Keep your eye on the sparrow.
The record will never be broken. Yep. Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Bostic signs autographs, then faces Annie.
Why would I help a pig like you win another big year, Bostic?
Because if you were trying to do another big year, a pig like me wouldn't want any help. But I'm not, Annie. I'm just looking. Just trying to reconnect with that little boy who fell in love with blue jays and mourning doves a million years ago. You're not gonna deny me that. Come on, have a heart.
Stay the hell off my bridge.
Deal.
Now the boat travels over the tranquil waters of a sound. On the deck, a mustached birder performs a bird call for a pretty brunette who listens keenly.
Western screech owl.
Capital, yes. You.
Okay.
Red-shouldered hawk.
Close, but no cigar.
Red-tailed hawk?
Yes, you, sir, win the stogie.
Brad nods humbly. The mustached man looks up.
Kittywake!
He moves off and others follow him. Nearby, a man cuts up fish on a board. Looking on, Bostic notices Stu popping pills at a railing nearby. He remembers passing by him at the house in Canada.
Bostic suspected every birder he met of doing a big year. And he'd do anything he could to distract him. Like a peregrine falcon, he'd circle his prey and then pounce.
Seasickness? I feel for you. That's the worst.
These usually help.
Yeah, some people say they're just a placebo. Who knows?
The workman dumps fish parts over the rail.
Here we go. Cod liver oil. Tracks birds like honey, but smells like fried cat puke. Sorry, I should have said puke.
Won't bother me. Lost my sense of smell in a chem lab explosion years ago.
That's lucky. Now you want to be careful with those binocs, because once you lose sight of that horizon, you can get lost, and then you're done for, because all you feel is the pitching and tossing. Pitching and tossing. Pitching and tossing.
I'm fine.
Hey, anybody up for a little fish head sushi?
Stu queasily eyes the cutting board, then faces Bostic.
Pitching and tossing. Pitching and tossing. Pitching and tossing.
The older man vomits over the deck railing.
You guys got a rag or something?
A workman hands over a crumpled rag.
Maybe one with not so much fish guts on it?
Later, Stu rests on an indoor bench piled with luggage.
You okay?
He feebly gives Brad the so-so gesture.
It's not easy being green.
Who knows? Maybe I never would have met Stu if he hadn't gotten sick that day. Sometimes friendship, like birding, depends on luck. Blink and you miss it.
Hey, did you get a chance to see that black-footed albatross?
I sure did. Thanks.
Well, I'll leave you at peace.
No, actually, it helps to talk. But I wouldn't want you to miss any birds.
Ah, we're headed back. Besides, if there's anything important, I'll know, because I can recognize them all by ear.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Really? What's that?
That's Bostic imitating a herring gull.
Brad points outside, where birders flock around Bostic as he does bird calls.
Bostic. I have him to thank for this.
What do you mean?
He psyched me out. Made me seasick. I think he thinks I'm doing a big year.
That is hardcore. Are you doing a big year?
No. You?
As Brad shakes his head, both their tallies appear. Later.
Come on, let's speed it up.
On land, the mustached birder brings coffee.
The lad inside says there's a suitable hotel on the 101 halfway to Mount Shasta.
Hotel? What, you think Snowy Owl's just gonna wait for us? Only reason why I invited you so we can drive straight through. Chop, chop!
Now Brad's mother uses a phone.
I can get you 10% off the hotel in Savannah, and I can put you on a direct flight, but it's $100 more.
I better stay with the two layovers then.
And your dad wants to talk to you.
No, Mom. Yeah, Mom,
oh,
no.
Oh, he's grabbing the phone. He's grabbing the phone.
Don't hand it to him. Mom, no. I don't want to talk about
that. Where is our world traveler today?
Oregon. Looking for seabirds.
Oregon. I guess everybody needs a vacation.
It's not a vacation, Dad.
Well, it's not work, unless somebody's paying you to stay in hotels.
And look at birds.
Dad?
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm just kind of confused about what a vacation is.
Okay, Dad, you know what? I gotta run.
Hey, Brad.
Great talking to you.
He angrily ends the call. Our view contracts around an owl in a nearby tapestry. It comes to life and flies at us. At the wheel of a car, Bostic wakes to find himself in the path of an 18-wheeler. He wrenches the wheel, waking his companion. Narrowly avoiding the truck, the car skids off the road and slams sideways into a tree.
Good God. Probably gonna use another cup of coffee.
Leaving the mustached birder in the passenger seat, Bostic lowers his window, then climbs out of the car through it. He faces the tree, grimly inspecting the damage to the car's back door. Bostic turns wide-eyed.
I think I broke my arm.
Shh! Shut up.
The champion birder ventures into the thick, evergreen forest. In the passenger seat, the mustached birder keeps one arm at his side as he starts to turn in his seat. He winces and unbuckles his seatbelt, then reaches into the back. He comes out, following Bostic. The champion looks up. Green, leafy branches form a canopy overhead, but give no sign of a bird. He treks further into the woods, shifting his searching gaze. Bostic moves a branch aside, then halts at the sight of a black and white woodpecker.
In birding terms, what Bostic and Fuchs saw that day was nothing short of a miracle.
Unbelievable. It's the rarest bird I've ever seen. It's like we were meant to crash here. We were.
They had survived a near-fatal crash only to stumble upon a great spotted woodpecker. Do you realize how rare that is? Statistically, in the Pacific Northwest, they had a greater chance of seeing a unicorn.
All of a sudden, your arm doesn't feel so broke, does it?
You could chop my arm off.
Now in a humble bathroom, Stu uses his cell phone as his socks dry on a line.
How's the conference?
How bad could it be?
It's Paris. How's it going there?
Brownsville, Texas.
Glorious. Dawn just broke. Tamaulipas crows will be here any minute.
I'm happy for you. But I wish you were here.
You're just jealous.
A view from her suite shows the Eiffel Tower.
Green.
Now a toilet bursts through a window.
What was that?
It lands outside Bostic's house.
I'm renovating.
Again? I thought we just got done redoing the whole house.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Not the upstairs or the kitchen.
Oh, the kitchen? I thought we had an agreement that we were going to wait on doing the kitchen.
Well, I thought you agreed to wait to do another big year.
Yes, I've told you, the birds wait for no man.
And neither do I.
So I had to hire Frank Fellucci, seeing as you're so busy.
You hired my competitor? Well, that's going to drag on forever.
Well, no, because I said to Frank that I'd give him a bonus if he was done by April.
A bonus? Okay, but geez, babe, please, you got to keep an eye on this. You cannot trust contractors.
I'm well aware, honey.
Okay, so is it old man Frank in charge of the job, or is it...
A handsome man arrives.
And a good-looking son who's doing it.
He's not that good-looking. Where are you, anyway?
I'm in Wyoming. I got a bag of sage grouse.
Is it beautiful there?
No. It's hot and dusty. It's a real dump.
At an actual dump, Stu snacks on chips.
Ketchup potato chip?
Other birders retch and cover their noses.
Ketchup potato chip?
Thank you.
Want ketchup potato chip? No?
Impervious to the stench, Stu photographs a bird among the refuse. His two associates arrive.
This is what happens to retirees, Stu. They lose their minds. Hey, look, everybody! Vultures!
He photographs them. Later.
You have to handle the negotiations yourselves. I told you, I'm done.
The company is your baby, sir, and it's in trouble.
Yeah, and your baby's wandered into the street.
There are cars coming.
Your baby needs you, Stu.
Save your baby.
You guys are pathetic.
Stu gets in a car.
2 days. Two. That's all we're asking. Just till the deal's closed. And you'll never hear from us again.
2 days, then I'm done.
You got it. 2 days in New York, and then you migrate.
Migrate?
See, you're not the only one with a sense of humor.
Yes, I am.
Stu backs out of his parking spot. Now April 19th, day 109. A silver luxury car pulls up in front of the Bostic's house. The champion birder gets out to find scaffolding framing the entire left wing of his home. The upper left quarter stands stripped of its siding. Bostic takes it in unhappily, then pulls his bags from the back seat and approaches the house.
Lucci?
The handsome man stands with an older man.
Long time no see, Bostic. Remember my kid, Frank Jr.
It's a beautiful place you got here, sir.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Lucci, I'm gonna be going over your timesheets like a hawk, so you might wanna ease up on the snack breaks.
Your wife wasn't exaggerating. Everything with you is birds, Bostic.
Yeah, it is.
He goes inside.
Jess? Jess?
He moves through a maze of exposed wood framework.
No. Ow! Jess?
She emerges from the master bathroom.
Well, hello, stranger. This is a rare sighting.
Yeah, well, what have you done to our house?
Do you like it so far?
So far? Please don't tell me there's more to come. Hey, this is crazy. Are you trying to get my attention? It worked. Is that the point of all this?
I don't know, Kenny. What is the point?
Well, I mean, I'm surprised to still see this room standing, that you didn't take a sledgehammer to this.
Am I supposed to put my life on hold for a year? Like a pathetic golf widow?
You're not a golf widow. I mean, you can't compare golf to this. Golf's just like a hobby.
And the birding is what, exactly?
She puts on a robe.
It's like a calling. This is like my calling.
Like Gandhi?
No, come on. I'm not comparing myself to Gandhi, okay? That's ridiculous. Okay, it's more like Mozart, I guess.
Okay, fine. You got a calling. Well, I got a calling, too. It's known as a baby.
Yeah, I know. I like to think that that's like, you know, another one of my callings, too.
And you're going to have to contribute, you realize, eventually.
I realize.
In person.
Yes, in person. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Really? Because I ain't so sure, Wolfgang.
Maybe I can convince you.
He grabs her, kissing her. He steers her to the bed.
I didn't mean now.
Why? What's the matter with now?
Well, because we have a house full of men.
Just pretend they're not there.
He pauses from their kiss.
Okay, pretend that we don't care that they're there.
I'm pretending.
Straddling his lap, she kisses him back. The TV shows a weather report.
Mm. Now, for those of you in the southeast, Texas will be experiencing high winds this morning.
Bostick's eyes straight at the TV. In a store, Brad watches the same report.
If you're planning to be anywhere in the Gulf today, better batten down the hatches.
In New York, Stu watches the report on a TV behind his office building security desk.
Fallout.
Jess follows her husband's gaze.
Kenny.
I know this is bad. I know this makes me look like a world-class asshole, but babe, I gotta go.
Kenny!
He tosses her onto the bed and runs out.
Kenny!
As he climbs into his car, Jess glares down from an open patch in a wall.
Kenny!
I'll call you!
She throws up her hands and Bostick speeds off. From the yard, Frank Jr. glances up at the disgruntled wife. Meanwhile, Brad races to his boss's office and bursts in.
Bill, don't say no. I'm going to Texas. I'm getting on a plane right now.
Texas? You just got back.
Bill, there is going to be major fallout in a few hours.
Nuclear fallout?
Bird fallout.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a major storm hitting the Gulf of Mexico in the middle of migration season. I'm talking about headwinds and downpours and 100,000 birds literally dropping from the sky.
Bill stares.
I'll put it down as a sick day.
Now Stu rushes out of the office.
Stu, hey, where are you going?
Texas.
Texas, now? What about McIntyre? How do we explain this?
Act of God.
He climbs into a car.
No, that's not gonna work.
Seriously, don't
stop the car.
The vehicle peels out.
Damn birds.
Later, the three birders talk on their cells.
Stu arrived on the outskirts of Houston feeling liberated after skipping out on his meeting in New York.
I really believe I can win this thing.
Bostick, not surprisingly, was supremely confident.
Yes, I really think I've got this thing locked up.
And I gotta admit, I was feeling that luck was on my side for a change.
I'm starting to think I have a chance.
I had done the math. I knew what spring fallout meant. A world record was within my grasp.
A red line on a map tracks Brad's progress to High Island. Now people and cars flock into a grassy parking lot. Bostick parks amid the crowd and gazes at the sky. Brad gets out of his car.
Unbelievable.
Climbing out of his vehicle, Stu breaks into a smile.
Oh my God.
Birds fill the sky above the trees, speckling it with clusters of black dots. Racing to the front of the crowd, Bostick crosses in front of a cameraman filming a reporter.
Faced with that headwind, they have to come down at the first land they see, and that's right here. One thing's for sure, today's happening is strictly for the birds.
Guys, get it. Keep it moving. Come on, we got a lot of birds to see.
He shoves past two men.
Only Americans can turn birding into a competition. That's right. You don't want to miss this one.
He flips them off as he gazes through his binoculars, then heads away. Later, birds flit overhead as Brad walks a path in the woods, his eyes fixed skyward. He lifts his binoculars to watch a red bird in a tree.
Brad.
Stu. I knew you'd be here. I was looking for you.
Me too.
This is incredible, isn't it?
I know. Where do we even start?
Gazing over Stu's shoulder, Brad notices Bostic.
Well, there's the best birder in the world. Maybe we should,
follow him.
They hurry after Bostic, who disappears into some trees. As other birders look through binoculars and snap photos, Bostic rushes past them and briefly eyes a bird on a tree. He runs off. Stu and Brad stop as well to see the little yellow bird.
Planetary warbler.
Slowing his pace, Bostic briefly peers through his binoculars.
Gotcha.
He runs off. Brad and Stu arrive a moment later.
Ooh, blue crosby. It's a buffet.
As they continue after Bostic, all three of their tallies appear, counting up past 300. Through his binoculars, Brad follows a bird, then spots the pretty brunette from the boat. She sees him and he waves. Bostic steps into his line of sight.
Ever get the feeling you're being followed?
Hello, Master.
How you doing, Stu? Still filling those weekends, I see. Unless you and your son here are doing a big year.
Kenny Bostic, this is my friend, Brad Harris, who's also not doing a big year.
Yeah, it's funny how nobody's doing a big year.
Yeah, with all this fallout and El Nino.
Yeah, I know. You'd think the conditions are just set up perfect for someone to have a real shot at breaking my record.
Not that record.
Bigfooted goose! Bigfooted goose, other end of the boardwalk!
How's that doing here?
Bostic sprints off. At a bridge, he picks up a little girl in a uniform who partially blocks the entrance and sets her aside. Stu and Brad approach the bridge.
Hey, please, let the explorers through.
Of course.
Let's go, ladies.
She gestures to a group of girls.
After you kids, get those badges.
Jump.
The two birders wait as the uniformed girls pass. As the last explorer crosses, Stu and Brad hurry down the narrow bridge, turning sideways to pass others. They reach a platform looking out onto a lake.
Stuck off, headed north, probably be in Iceland by Friday. Boy, she was a beaut, too. Hey, is that a calliope? Nah. Sorry to disappoint you, boys. Again.
He strides off. Brad and Stu share an exasperated look. Later, Bostic's two competitors sit at a table in an elegant restaurant.
Good evening. It's a nice specialist quail. I highly recommend it.
I couldn't.
Yeah, not tonight.
I'll have the halibut. And a bottle of this Montrachet.
Of course.
And I will have the soup. Thank you.
The waiter heads off and Stu frowns.
Really? After being outside all day in the wind and rain?
Kind of a light eater.
Stu balks at his girth.
And the truth is, the prices here are a little steeper than I'm used to.
Brad. I invited you to dinner.
I know, but...
No, it's my pleasure. Look, when I'm birding, I don't fly first class or hire guides. It's too much like cork bats and steroids to me. But tonight, we're celebrating. We saw 136 species. Brad, 136.
Here's to them. And to the one who got away.
Pink-footed goose.
As they clink glasses, the waiter returns.
The Montrachet?
Hmm. Good. And my friend would like to see the menu again, please.
Of course.
Brad gives a grateful nod.
Cool.
That shrimp scampi was calling my name, if you must know.
That's a little too much.
Okay.
By the end of the meal, I felt like I'd known Stu for years. It was rare to meet a birder as obsessed as I was. And even rarer to meet one who could pay for dinner.
I mean, I'm 36. I'm divorced. I have a job I hate. I just want to do something big, you know? Make my mark.
So what are you going to do?
I'm working on something. My dad doesn't get it. He's had the same boring job for 40 years. That's what people do, he says.
Well, he's right. Most people just stay on the beaten path, then one day they wake up and realize they didn't do everything they wanted to do. Look at me. I was so afraid to retire, I had to do it twice before I finally got out here.
Why'd you wait so long?
Because I'm an idiot.
Okay, I gotta tell you. I'm doing a big year.
Stu's face remains blank as he sips his drink. Lowering the glass, he nods.
Wow.
I know.
I don't know what made me blurt it out like that. Confidence? Innocence? Alcohol? It just never occurred to me that Stu might be doing his own big year.
Don't tell anybody, okay?
Stu takes a long drink.
I guess I just assumed he'd be honest. I guess I just assumed honor and decency would prevail. I guess I just assumed we were friends.
Mum's the word.
Later, they stroll outside.
Well, we won't have to eat for a week.
I'm hurting.
Great dinner.
Stu extends his hand to shake, but Brad leans forward and gives him a hug.
Good luck.
Thanks again.
At a motel.
Hey, it's me, Mozart. The fallout's over, now I'm calling to deal with the fallout from the fallout. Look, babe, I'm sorry. I'm gonna make it up to you. You'll see. I'm going to, where are you anyway? It's late there.
Oh, where am I? I'm shooting hormones into my butt so I can have your baby, Kenny.
She discards a needle.
I'm gonna hit the sack here, but I will try you in the morning, and I'm gonna be launching a new thing called Operation Sweeper Off Her Feet. So you might want to get ready, because it's gonna be pretty spectacular. Okay? All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Jess smiles. Now on the deck of her boat, Annie stares through binoculars, then points.
Hurry, Nigger! 9 o'clock!
May 8th, Coos Bay, Oregon. Stu writes his find in a daily journal, then notices a man with shaggy brown hair staring through binoculars. He sets down his journal and walks over.
Brad!
He nudges the guy.
Brad!
No.
Oh. Sorry.
Turning away from the stranger, Stu staggers briefly, then rests his hand against the ferry's frame. His eyes widen and he stifles a gag. As he rushes inside, leaving his belongings behind, Crane creeps over and picks up Stu's journal. He glances around, then flips through it. Now Brad sits in his cubicle at his otherwise vacant workplace and pulls up Crane's blog on his computer. He smiles as he reads.
Met a dapper white-haired guy who was really seasick on a pelagic near Coos Bay. Got a peek at his list. 497 species as of May 8th. He's definitely doing a big year, if he doesn't barf himself to death.
Brad glares. Now Stu talks on the phone.
I still feel like a heel. Feel like I let him on. But I'm afraid if he knew about my big year, Bostick could get it out of him eventually.
And why is it so important to keep the secret from Bostick?
Less competition he thinks he has, the more he's likely to throttle back. Not try so hard, not grind for the extra birds. Maybe I could sneak past him.
Do whatever it takes to set that record, honey. You know how much it means to me.
I miss you, doll. What are you doing this weekend? I could get us a room in St. Paul, not far from the Sack-Zim Bog.
Really? Not far from the bog? Wow, you do know how to woo a girl.
He checks his call waiting.
Ah, there's my friend Jim calling me.
Uh-oh. I love you. Spot something rare for me.
You know I will.
Stu switches to the other line.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, listen, talks broke down. Deal was dead by 10 o'clock. Over.
Total acrimony. On the way out the door...
We agreed to a do-or-die session, May 14th.
Here in New York in our office.
I can't. Impossible.
They're flying to Attu on the 14th.
To where?
Attu, Alaska, and I can't miss the flight. There's not another one for a week.
Stu, you're not involved, the deal dies.
Look, you gave these people their jobs. If you don't do something, they're gonna lose them.
That means a hell of a lot more than some birds on Attu.
Now our view soars over jagged, snowy mountains.
Attu, the westernmost island of the Aleutian chain. So far west, it's closer to Tokyo than to Anchorage. There are no hotels, no phones, no restaurants, no toilets.
Not the kind that flush, anyway.
But for birders, Attu was paradise. Nobody could hope to win a big year without going to Attu in May.
May 14th, day 134.
Mom's taxi service. I'm sorry I'm late. You're gonna be a little chilly in Alaska.
Brad wears a t-shirt and boxers.
I'm not going.
Later.
Stop packing, I'm serious.
Mom.
Are you upset because you think you can't win or because he lied to you?
Both. And what about Bostick?
Who?
Kenny Bostick, the best birder in the world. I think he might be doing another big year. What chance do I have?
Oh, Brad, you have 486 birds. You're on a record pace. You can't quit now.
Mom?
No.
My credit card is maxed out. Even if I go to Alaska, there's no way I can complete the year.
This has a $6,000 limit. Bring me back some Alaska pictures.
No, Mom,
I can't. No. Get dressed. Your plane leaves in an hour. Don't piss off your travel agent.
Now they speed down a highway.
I had no idea this car could go this fast.
Well, if we miss this plane, there's not another one for a week, so we gotta do it.
She swerves in front of a car. Meanwhile, a helicopter soars toward New York's towering skyscrapers. On a helipad, a man opens the door.
Welcome back, Mr. Chrysler.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Stu.
I can give you 4 hours, that's it. Then I've got to catch my flight to Alaska.
No problem.
How was your trip?
Louisiana was spectacular.
A lot of birds in the bayou.
And saw a loggerhead shrike from my hotel room in Natchitoches.
Adorable.
It imitates the songs of other birds to lure them in close.
Aha!
Then it impales them on thorns, breaks their necks, and eats them. Yeesh.
Later in the meeting.
We'll assume the cost of retrofitting the plants, but that still leaves the non-compete clause. Barry says you have an issue with it.
Well, no, it's not a big issue, but I'm not like you, Stu. I'm not ready to hang it all up so I can spend the rest of my life bird watching.
Stu glares, and Barry shoots Jim a look.
It's called birding, Rick, and there's no wiggle room here. This is a deal breaker for us.
Wait. 4 hours ago, you said that everything was negotiable. Was it just so you could lure me in to finish me off?
Stu gives a tight, affirming smile. Barry leans toward Jim.
The shrike. Well, it's 11:15. I should have left for the airport 15 minutes ago.
He stands.
All right, Stu, just wait. One second, please. 1 second. Let me talk to my people. Just give me 5 minutes, okay?
With sagging shoulders, Stu glances at his watch, then gives a resigned nod. Later, he, Barry, and Jim sit at the conference room table while McIntyre talks outside with his associates. Jim shoots his watch a furtive glance. McIntyre returns to the conference room.
Okay, Stu. 48 months. You got a deal.
They'll shake.
He stands.
The Lexington's inside, okay? I'm coming out now. Are you there?
He talks on his cell as he exits the building.
Come up. Pull up in front. There's taxis there. Flash your light.
He waits by the curb as his driver pulls the car up beside a row of taxis. He jumps in the back.
Go.
He checks the time. Grimacing, he slumps against the seat. Now a small plane sits on a runway, Anchorage, Alaska. Inside.
Kenny? This is Karen, my blushing bride. Attu's gonna be our honeymoon.
Wow!
Okay, now, Karen, you're not a birder, are you?
No, I'm just, along for the ride.
Honeymoon on Attu. That should be unforgettable.
As she turns away, Bostic eyes her new husband. He mouths, "Attu, what were you thinking?" But the guy gives a dismissive wave.
Come on, let's go! What are we waiting for?
Charter's sold out, but two guys haven't shown up yet.
Come here!
Brad stumbles aboard.
Okay, Sorry, I'm late.
He stows his bags on an overhead shelf.
Okay.
He takes a seat across the aisle from Bostic, then notices the champion birder eyeing him.
Nice of you to join us.
Brad allows a nod, then settles in his seat. Now the pilot pushes the plane's throttle, and the craft begins to move. In the cabin, Bostic turns to Brad.
You're Stu's little sidekick, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, me and Stu are like that. I know all his secrets.
Yeah. Cooking?
Yeah, thanks.
All his secrets.
Apparently he's doing a big year. Oops. He probably wouldn't want you to know that.
A taxi skids around the Merrill Airfield hangar, kicking up dust. Stu hurries out with his bags in hand. The plane turns onto a runway. On board, Bostic shrugs.
What's his total?
By now, over 500.
Bostic's eyes widen. Stu runs for the plane.
Hey!
Gives him a shot at your record, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He spies Stu through a window.
He's a pretty spry old guy. He's definitely got a shot at my record. Of course, he probably would have had a better shot if he had made this flight.
The plane lifts off the runway. Stu drops his bags. He doubles over defeatedly.
What's your total?
What's your total? I'm not doing a big year.
No?
Mm-mm.
Another cookie?
No, one's my limit.
On a map, a red arrow extends from a point on the Alaskan coast to the Aleutian Islands halfway across the ocean. As we descend toward the farthest one, real clouds blanket our view. The plane bounces with turbulence.
The pilot says this is a Siberian storm.
Attu Island meet El Nino. Makes for great birding.
The plane jostles violently. Bags fall from the overhead shelves. Shrieking hysterically, Karen grips the seat in front of her with both hands. The co-pilot glances back from the cockpit. More luggage falls as the plane swoops through a range of jagged mountains. Brad tensely looks across the aisle. Calmly nibbling a cookie, Bostick returns a cordial smile. The plane lands roughly. Karen sobs in her husband's arms while Brad sits frozen with a scowl.
Nice job up there in the cockpit. Way to go, guys. At two.
Now the birders march single file down a path cutting through a field at the base of a mountain. Bostick hikes casually behind the newlyweds, admiring his surroundings. Brad's duffel bounces against his leg with each stride. As the birders arrive at a remote compound, an old woman inside peers out a dingy window.
Bostick.
She sits and uses a PA microphone.
Welcome, birders, to Attu.
Welcome, birders, to Attu.
Now a pair of doors slides open, revealing the inside of a Quonset hut set with two rows of bunk beds. Karen's husband takes in the crude quarters with a grin, barely registering her glum pout. Bostick steps up behind them.
Welcome to the honeymoon suite. Unforgettable. Wally, how are you?
Hey, Bostick.
Ooh, that old Attu air.
He strolls past the bunks, then moves through a humble dining area.
How you doing, Dolores? Suzuki.
A seated woman high-fives him as he passes. Reaching the room's far wall, he shoves a row of lockers to one side, revealing a hidden door. He opens it with a cocky smirk to reveal a small, private room. The others stare as he sets down his things. Opening a small chest filled with personal items, he takes out a pair of green drawstring pants.
Oh, yeah. Here they are. Now.
In the common sleeping area, Brad sets his bags on a lower bunk.
Prime real estate. Okay.
A rat runs along a shelf by the headboard. Brad springs up and hits his head on the top bunk. He scrambles wildly off the bed, grabbing his duffel, and peers after the rat with a fearful stare.
I've only been here a week, and my life list is already at 578.
Sure. He sees the pretty brunette chatting with a tall guy.
That is the American,
so beautiful.
Yeah, golden plover.
Brad approaches her.
Rustic bunting.
Excuse me.
The pretty brunette swings her legs around, obliviously kicking him in the face. Recovering, he dances from foot to foot as he tries to find a path to his bunk while the other birders rush past him. Outside, they climb on bikes and ride off.
Kenny, rustic bunting.
Really? I'll catch up to you.
Munching cereal, Bostick lounges in the dining area in his green drawstring pants. Brad narrows his eyes at him, then rushes out to find the other birders riding off. Donning a knit hat, he grabs one of the few remaining bikes and awkwardly pedals after them. Now on a rugged gravel trail.
Go back, you guys! The bunting's reversed toward Castle.
The birders turn.
Bunting's
gone up the hill!
Turn around!
The bunting flew down the hill! Go back!
What?
Go back! No, the bunting flew down the hill!
At the compound.
Gladys, we finally found the bunting. It's at Murder Point.
Bostick stretches as he strolls outside in his green pants.
Bostick had adopted a technique perfected by devious birds like the skua. He let others do the grunt work, and then seized the spoils.
Wildlife footage shows a seabird landing among some penguins, stealing their fish and flying off. Now the birders use binoculars to scan a snowy field near the base of a mountain. Brad squints in the sunlight.
There it is!
Where?
As he turns hurriedly, his feet slip out from under him. He lands on his back in the snow as his fellow birders rush past him. Getting to his feet, he peers through his binoculars like the others. A small flock of birds takes flight, but one lingers behind. It languidly flutters toward a ridge, where Bostick photographs it. The others lower their binoculars.
Oh, hey, everybody.
As he moves on, his tally ticks up to 537.
Bostick.
Brad's tally ticks up to 534. As the birders ride across the mountain valley, hand-scrawled bird names appear all around them, pointed out by arrows. Semi-palmated plover, spectacled eider, olive-backed pipit, bean goose, Eurasian widgeon, rock ptarmigan, bufflehead, arctic loon, Laysan albatross. Brad grimaces with effort as he tries to keep up with the others. They spot more birds in a field in a canyon. Bar-tailed godwit, hoary redpoll, Lapland longspur, northern shoveler, spectacled eider, long-toed stint. Carrying their bikes, they wade across a gentle river. Atop a high ridge, Brad gazes through his binoculars. Bostic rides alone through a meadow past one last arrowed label, Smee. Now storm clouds swirl over the compound.
Jason, just so our viewers can take precautions here, how severe is this storm going to be?
The rat creeps onto Brad's pillow.
We're expecting a tremendous amount of snow. It'll be tough out there for man or beast.
At the Alaska Breeze Motel, Stu rolls his eyes.
At least a few people happy about this Siberian storm, right? Well, I can tell you that the birders over at Attu are going to love it. So far, they've spotted such rarities as a pin-tailed snipe and an oriental greenfinch.
Snipe and greenfinch. And these are birds that nobody's seen in North America for how long? 10, 20, 30 years?
30 years at least, if ever.
And I'm happy if I can spot a pigeon.
Now on Attu, Brad rides his bike over a ridge. Arriving at the compound, he climbs off, walks his bike to a rack, and leaves it there. He picks up his knees as he walks to the building, cooling down his stubby legs. Going in, he sets down his binoculars. He starts to remove his jacket, then notices the pretty brunette in the dining area and heads toward her.
Hey, Brad! I made it! Boy, oh boy, are you a sore for sight eyes, huh?
I was just headed out.
Wrenching his jacket back on, he brushes past the older man. Stu stares after him, then presses his lips together knowingly and follows him out. Brad walks a bike toward a path.
I wanted to tell you, but Bostic has a way of getting information out of people.
Yeah, I guess he's not the only one.
I didn't get it out of you, Brad. You offered it to me.
Oh, come on! You bought me drinks and got what you wanted.
Passing by, the tall, brawny birder eyes them curiously.
That's not why I asked you to dinner. I told you about my wife, my fear of retirement. You think I discuss that stuff with just anybody?
Nope. Just the people you think are doing a big year.
Brad, listen. You were ready to talk about your big year. I wasn't ready to talk about mine. That's all it was. Have you checked your messages lately?
Up here? What, are you kidding me?
I left a full confession 5 days ago. I felt bad.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Okay, I guess I have a confession to make, too.
You told Bostic, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Is it true this was the greatest week in Attu history?
Yeah, but the birds are still here. Unless there's a freak blizzard, you'll still get to see them.
Later, low clouds roll over the compound. A freak blizzard bombards the area with driving snow. A tiny bird shifts its nervous gaze. A bald eagle bears the storm stoically, its feathers ruffled in the wind, at an icy window.
Sorry about the freak blizzard. I shouldn't have said there's going to be a freak blizzard. You know, they jinxed it.
Now Bostic sips brandy and tells stories.
No, that's the thing. We couldn't figure it out. What's a bird who only eats mosquitoes doing in Wisconsin in February? Then we found it on the porch. Bug zapper. With a 12-month supply of freeze-dried mosquitoes in his trap. That little sucker was in heaven.
How about the most tropical bird you've seen this year?
Western Spindalis, Key West.
Hardest to find.
Rufous-capped warbler perched on a toilet brush in a cabin near El Paso. I almost wish I didn't see that one.
One that got away.
That's easy. Snowy owl. I just can't seem to nail that sucker. I've been out 6 times this year, and I still haven't gotten one.
6 trips to see one bird. It sounds an awful lot like a man doing a big year.
Well, it takes one to know one, right, Stu? Cheers. Of course, then again, maybe I just loved a bird.
As he merrily sips his brandy, Stu regards him with a distrustful gaze. Now Brad hikes across the rugged, snowy landscape. Pausing, he raises his binoculars to his eyes. Stu and Bostic catch up to him.
What do you got?
Bald eagle.
Oh, big deal. We all got one 5 months ago.
It's got a lady friend.
Of all courtship rituals in the animal kingdom, the most spectacular by far is that of the bald eagle. The male and female climb to dizzying heights, and then...
The two birds clasp each other's talons, then cartwheel as they plummet from the sky.
Join in free fall, plummeting toward Earth, locked in each other's embrace. separating only at the very last moment.
Gotta miss Edith.
Stu turns and heads off.
Yeah, I gotta miss Jazz.
Bostic follows him, but Brad lingers behind to watch the Eagles. He lowers his binoculars with a pensive frown. Now in the Quonset hut, the pretty brunette lies on her upper bunk, typing on her laptop. From a table in the dining area, Brad watches her longingly. He turns away, then gives a brave nod and gets to his feet. Stuffing his hands in his pockets, he shuffles toward her bunk.
Oh, hey.
Oh, it's the man with the golden ear.
Yeah.
I thought you were just lucky last time, but word has it around the barracks that you're something of an idiot savant. Without the idiot part.
No, it's... I'm an idiot. It's true.
Okay, let me see if I can try to stump you.
Okay. Greater Roadrunner.
Yep, not bad. Okay.
Come on, easy. Common Raven. Let's, take it to the next level.
Okay. All right. You asked for it.
Oh, yeah. Audubon Oriole. Oh, yeah. Wow. That, in my opinion, is the most beautiful girl bird in the world. Is it true that you have a life list of 578 birds?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom thinks that my obsession with birds is ruining my life.
Tell me about it. My dad even blames the birds for my wife leaving. But what does he know? I mean, that's not why. We had other issues, but...
It was the birds.
Now Stu leaves an outhouse with a bird-shaped hole carved in its wooden door. Taking in his snow-blanketed surroundings, he finds Brad pumping up a bicycle tire.
Hey. How'd it go?
Kind of bogged down when I got to talking about my ex-wife.
Stu rolls his eyes.
I know.
He pats Brad's shoulder.
It's about the top of the list of the 50 worst pickup lines.
Yeah. Hi, I'm divorced. Didn't go so good, but I got a good feeling about this one. Oh, boy.
Inside, a knife cuts fish.
Ooh, what does that smell?
Good doctors are whipping up a homemade batch of bird bait.
We've been fermenting it out back since we got here.
It's like crack cocaine to the gulls.
He wipes the counter with a scarf.
What are you doing? This is my scarf!
Oh, sorry.
The scarf is from Bergdorf's. This scarf costs $250!
I wouldn't go out there if
Shut
I...
up! My scarf!
Karen storms outside with it.
This should be fun.
The birders flock to the windows. As Karen takes her scarf to a water pump, gulls swoop down all around her. She flails wildly in a futile attempt to defend herself.
Honey, go to it!
Her husband rushes out and flings the scarf aside.
Don't take my scarf! Give it back to me!
She falls on her behind as the birds continue their assault.
Hitchcockian.
Now as the birders file toward a waiting air taxi, Karen storms past them with her expensive luggage. One guy looks back and points to a rooftop.
What's he doing up there?
Bostic takes down a windsock.
How many do you think he has?
I wouldn't guess.
629.
You know what?
Chrysler has 552. Harris,
That's
627.
We can't take our eyes off the ball. You think he lets anything slow him down?
He replaces the windsock with his green pants.
I made work my priority and I missed the boat. You got your feelings hurt and you almost quit. No more, Brad. Think like him, act like him. One of us has to beat this SOB.
Yeah. Yeah!
And here's what you do about Ellie.
I don't think I'm ready.
You tell her you want to exchange phone numbers in case there's a rare sighting this summer.
I said I'm not ready. But that is a really good idea. Thanks.
Brad boards the plane.
Good luck, Stu.
Bostic climbs on as well, staying behind. Stu jogs away joyfully. Beneath the cloudy sky, the plane lifts off from the runway. On board, Ellie reaches across the aisle and taps Brad's shoulder. As he turns, she hands him a slip of paper. He reads it, lifts his brow, and glances back at her with a hopeful smile.
In the next 8 weeks, I traveled 14,000 miles across 21 states and saw 56 new birds.
A series of scenes highlights his travels.
I also ate about 300 bags of pretzels and maxed out 7 credit cards, including my mom's. But man, that was an awesome summer.
Brad hikes up to a waterfall where a bird soars among the mist. In a city, Ellie uses her cell phone as she peers upward through binoculars. On the other end of the line, Brad strolls through a desert. Now a fanboat speeds through the Everglades. In a swamp, Brad fights his way past a low branch as he rows a small boat. He spies a flamingo ahead. At sunset, he watches circling gulls from a sandbar, now at work. Brad answers his cell.
Hello, hi.
You know that pink-footed goose that you missed in Texas? Well, guess what just showed up here in Boston?
Really?
Now words appear beneath a speeding train. August 20th, day 232. Brad arrives at Boston South Station.
You know how you look forward to something happening for a long time, and then suddenly it is happening, and now you're not sure if you're even ready for it to happen?
He spies Ellie on the platform.
That's how I felt about seeing that goose.
Ellie!
He disembarks.
Hey.
He shyly pecks her cheek.
How's your big year going?
I don't want to jinx it, but it's going very, very good. I saw a flamingo in the Everglades last
wow.
week. Got about 1,000 mosquito bites, but it was worth it.
Doing a big year and working full time? I really admire that, Brad.
You know what I admire? That you're not doing a big year.
Why?
Because it's pure. It's all about the love of birds for you.
How do you know I'm not doing a big year?
Oh.
They leave the station and approach a car at the curb.
You left it there? You're brave.
Oh, but Darren's driving.
Nice. Darren?
My boyfriend? Darren, this is Brad.
Welcome to Boston, bro. So, Ellie tells me you guys are going to look for a pink goose?
No, it's,
Nope, not a pink goose. No such thing as a pink goose. It's a pink-footed goose. So, if I came to see a pink goose, then I guess this whole trip would have been a big waste of time, wouldn't it? Pink goose. Maybe there's a purple swan out there, too. Let's go.
You want to hear the punchline? The pink-footed goose had already skipped town.
We'll get it one day. Brad.
Edith had a boyfriend when I first met her. You never know. The final chapter might not be written with Ellie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stu.
With a thoughtful look, Stu lowers his phone.
The week that Stu missed on Attu was costly. He'd fallen way behind. But back on the mainland, there was news that changed everything.
His son answers the door to an apartment. Stepping inside, Stu hugs him.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Come see.
Can't wait.
His daughter-in-law cradles her infant son.
Wow, he's adorable.
Hey, Grandpa.
What's his name?
No one told you?
All I heard was he hadn't decided yet.
Name's Stuart, Dad. Call him Stu.
The white-haired grandfather gives a touched look.
Really? Well, that's something.
You want to hold him?
Yeah.
He sits.
Hey.
He reaches out.
Hold his head.
I remember.
His son snaps photos.
Whoa, Stu. Stu, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, you don't want to look at Big Face?
He gives his grandson a broad, goofy grin.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Edith arrives.
Hey, buddy. Hey, cute, so cute.
She watches lovingly from the background. Stu notices her and smiles.
Spotted something rare for you. Hey, buddy. You want to go birding? Huh? Want to do the rumba?
He jiggles little Stu's hips like a dancer. Later, he hurries outside. A cab pulls to a stop.
JFK?
He loads his bags into the back seat, then turns to his son's apartment and waves goodbye. His family waves back from a window.
In the days that followed, it proved harder than Stu could have guessed to resume his big year. Everywhere he went, in Des Moines and Yosemite and Galveston, he began to see hints of his own mortality, even in a blade of grass.
Stu strolls through an Iowa field.
He missed his wife.
He stands on a beach in Fire Island.
He missed his family.
Sitting in an airport shuttle, he eyes his phone.
Was his migrating instinct waning at last?
Its display shows the photos of a smiling Stu holding his grandson.
Was his big year really just a big mistake?
October 2nd, Seattle, Washington.
Blue-footed booby,
Orca's Island, right?
Brad grins as he sees Stu at the ferry terminal.
Hey, how many?
You might want to sit down. Edith gave me a pep talk last month. 707. You?
715. You're not bad at the pep talks yourself.
Me and my big mouth.
How many?
Bostic approaches with a hand cupped to his ear.
715?
Wow, welcome to the 700 Club, kid. That is rarefied air. Of course, it's this old timer we got to worry about. What's your number?
You don't want to know.
I do. Scare me.
How about 730?
Really? Down here, I thought I was the bomb at 728.
Hey, hang in there. You still got a shot.
Yeah. Thank you for that reassuring pat on my shoulder. All right, have a good day.
He leaves.
I just wanted to wipe that cocky grin off his face.
You did that. He looked like he just read his own obituary.
And we got his total.
Okay, yes. Okay.
But I think you just woke a sleeping dog.
Seeing Bostic sprint to his car, they head to the ticket booth.
Excuse me. Did our friend just say where he was going?
He wanted directions to the Skagit Wildlife Area.
Blue-footed boobies on the move.
Pulling his car out of a line of vehicles waiting for the ferry, Bostic peels off down the road.
This is me.
Stu and Brad jump into a gray sedan at the front of the line. The white-haired birder turns his vehicle around and heads after Bostic. As the gray sedan speeds off down the road, Bostic's blue car glides back out from behind a bus and returns to its spot in the ferry line. The champion birder casually gets out. Glancing over his shoulder, he smirks. Now at the Skagit Wildlife Area.
No bird, and no Bostic.
Narvis says the blue-footed booby's still on the island.
Brad checks his watch.
And we just missed the last ferry.
You know the beauty of it? He never lied to us. He never even spoke to us. This man's a genius. Oh, 728. He's a machine. He's a birding machine. Unless he was bluffing, too.
Or cheating.
Maybe he just wants it more.
Oh, screw that. I've spent 10 months of my life on this, and every penny I have. There is no way he wants it more than me. Remember when you said one of us has to beat this SOB?
Stu nods.
Well, maybe we should
team up.
He looks away, then furrows his brow and turns back to Brad.
Team up.
Brad opens his arms affirmatively.
I can't look at the rocket launch.
Now he consults a map as Stu drives. Later, they paddle a canoe down a stream in Whitefish, Montana.
To their words, 'cause I like birds.
Now a car rolls down a dusty road between rocky mountains. Later, Stu peers through bushes at water birds. Holding him on his shoulders, Brad grimaces. Asheville, North Carolina. A wider view shows an industrial plant beyond the bushes. Stu stumbles as Brad tries to climb onto his shoulders. Now in the car, Brad claps and Stu sings.
Birds.
Later, they sit at the edge of Lake Tahoe in Nevada.
I'm exhausted. I couldn't take another step. Huh?
Sandhill Creek.
Brad hurries off.
Oh, shit.
At a bar, Stu talks on his phone.
You took him up? Okay, thanks, Gil.
He hangs up, then turns to Brad.
Bostic saw snowcocks.
Can't afford snowcocks?
Snowcocks are on me.
Can't even afford this beer.
That's on me, too. You ever been in a helicopter?
Now a helicopter swoops between jagged peaks. Words appear. Ruby Mountains, Nevada.
So how long until we see some Himalayan snowcocks?
Hey, you never know. It's a matter of luck.
Sitting beside Gil the pilot, Brad shifts his eyes to the jagged rocks.
Do we have to fly this close to the mountains?
Close? Close? You want to see close?
No.
The chopper banks suddenly toward a mountain face, then swerves away at the last second. Stu squeezes his eyes shut. Gil cackles. Brad clutches his grab handle. The pilot spots a pale bird dipping below a tree-lined cliff.
There, Himalayan just cleared the ridge.
You see it?
No.
Oh, man, come on, look.
The helicopter swings back around with its nose pointed downward. Brad cringes. Stu wears a queasy look.
Where are you? Come on.
Gil spots the snowcock.
There.
Riding cowboy.
The bird nosedives, leaving the chopper headed straight toward a cliff face. The pilot swerves away just in time.
We're good, we're good.
Can we go home now?
Don't you want to get it on film?
Hell no!
No, home!
Now the chopper lands in front of a hangar reading Nevada Aviation. Crouched to avoid the aircraft's spinning blades, Brad and Stu climb out and hurry to a safe distance. Brad jumps up and pumps his fists.
We're alive!
We saw Snowcock!
Brad kisses the ground. Stu does a wild and crazy version of the twist.
We're on a roll! Nothing can stop us now!
Brad dances with him.
Hey, Mom!
Stu stops his disco dancing as he sees Brad's frown.
What?
Now at a hospital, his mother buttons his father's shirt.
It's okay.
Brad watches worriedly.
How many of these damn tests these clowns are gonna put me through before they let me get the hell out of here?
Dad, you had a heart attack.
I had a minor heart attack. In my old man's day, it was not something you went to the hospital for.
Sitting on the edge of the hospital bed, he shoots his son a weary glance. Brad scrutinizes him, then walks to his bag, which rests on a chair.
Let me show you.
He grabs a camera.
Some shots from the trip.
His dad takes a pair of glasses from his breast pocket.
My little hobby. You should take a look. What we got here? There you go. Colima Warbler. It's Texas. Had to hike 8 miles to see that guy.
He clicks to the next image.
There's a spruce grouse. Maine. That was butt cold. Another spruce grouse. Ah, there's my favorite bird. American golden plover.
That's your favorite bird. It's gray.
Yes, it is. Well, gray-brown. Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't think twice to look at this bird, but this golden plover is one of the greatest travelers in the world. It's true. It breeds in the Arctic tundra, then flies all the way down to Argentina and back all in 1 year. It shows up on beaches of Guatemala, farms in Illinois. 9 inches long. But he travels hundreds of thousands of miles in his lifetime. No passports, no security, total freedom. Yeah. This gray bird? Seen some amazing things. That's the bird that everybody underestimates.
He smiles as he gazes at the photo. His father gives him a thoughtful look. Now a car screeches to a halt on a dusty road. Santa Fe National Forest, New Mexico. Stu drinks from a canteen as he waits on a rocky mountainside. He hurries after the sound. Elsewhere, a portly man makes bird calls.
Yes.
Bostic hurries over.
Hey,
did you see a flamer?
I heard it. He just answered my call.
Which direction?
Doesn't matter. We both heard it. That counts.
How do I know what I heard? Maybe I just heard you. Maybe I heard some SOB answering you.
Well, I'm claiming it. I mean, you heard what I heard. You should claim it, too.
Just tell me which direction, pal. Well,
Stu eavesdrops.
Okay.
Hey, hold up. I'll go with you.
Hey, Stu. Yeah, walk with me.
Ooh. That was some trick you pulled on us in Anacortes Ferry.
What trick?
Ooh. You know, Bostic, you're a hard guy to figure. Seems like you'd do anything to win, but that's not true, is it?
Well, I work the angles just like everyone does. Maybe even better.
Yeah, but when it comes to the honor system, you're as pure as snow.
Well, everyone in the clubhouse knows which guy cheats on his score. He's kind of pathetic. Who'd want to be that asshole, right?
You know, Bostic, this is strange to say, but I actually kind of like you.
I kind of like you too, Stu. Yeah, you seem like a genuinely nice guy. Of course, wasn't that how you got to Brad?
I didn't get to...
Yell if you find a flammer.
He hurries ahead.
Bostic.
Now at Bergen Fertility Clinic, Jess reads through paperwork on a clipboard, then brings it to a reception desk where a dark-haired nurse takes it.
Okay, we're all set. But we do need your husband here very soon.
He'll be here.
She flashes a smile, then returns to her seat in the waiting room. Meanwhile, Bostic races to his car in the airport parking lot. He stows his bags in the trunk, then climbs in. As he starts the engine, his wipers clear a layer of dirt off the windshield. In an exam room at the clinic, the dark-haired nurse draws his wife's blood. Jess winces.
sorry. Am I hurting you?
Oh, not at all.
Your husband does know today's the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She looks away, her smile fading. Meanwhile, Bostick stops at a parking attendant's booth.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Tired.
The cashier takes his ticket and the gate's striped arm lifts, allowing Bostick's car to leave the lot. With a determined look, the blonde birder speeds away from the airport. He swerves from lane to lane, passing other cars. At the clinic, Jess now wears a hospital gown as she waits alone in an exam chair. She extends her legs and anxiously flexes her feet. As the door opens, she sets her feet down with a start.
Well, the doctor's ready. Should we maybe call your husband?
Can we give him 5 more minutes?
The nurse backs out of the room. Jess drops her face in her hand. Speeding into the clinic's lot, her husband parks crookedly in a space. He races toward the entrance. He takes out his cell and checks its display, then answers with one hand on the clinic's door.
Yeah?
Bostick, guess what I'm looking at? Snowy Owl.
Catch the 4:30 to Buffalo and you will obliterate your own record.
Bostick checks the time, 3:27. In the clinic, Jess makes a call.
Kenny, where are you?
Jess, you cannot believe how hard I've tried today to get there. It's just been a complete nightmare here in Chicago. Hold on.
He takes a parking ticket as he heads back into the airport lot.
You've got like all the planes grounded.
Later at their house. Running her hands through her hair, Jess sits heavily on a box in a partially renovated room. Pastel wallpaper with children's drawings covers the bottom half of the walls. As Jess rests her head in her hands, Frank Jr. tiptoes in.
Here you go, Mrs. B.
He holds out a mug. Oh.
Sounds like you could use a cup of tea.
He sets it on a table.
Thanks, Frankie.
Yeah.
He leaves. Meanwhile, at the Harris house, Brad's father reads in the living room. With an exasperated look, he sets his newspaper aside and grabs his son's backpack off the floor. He opens its front pocket and rifles through it, taking out packages of snacks and setting them on a coffee table. Finding Brad's phone, he answers.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi, I'm trying to reach Brad.
Brad's upstairs. He's setting up an oxygen tank for some old man.
Oh, can you tell him his friend Stu called? I got word of a great gray owl in the George Washington National Forest, and since that's in your neck of the woods.
Brad's told me a lot about you, Stu.
Same here. Quite a son you have there. Between you and me, might break the world's record this year.
World record? Is that right?
Brad comes downstairs.
Here, get your coat on.
Where are we going?
Some kind of an owl out in the woods. I want to get a look at it.
Now light snow falls as Brad and his father walk in the woods. George Washington National Forest, Virginia.
I always thought it was kind of weird with birds. Male, you know, is way colorful and fancy. The female is just plain. The opposite from us, you know?
I don't know, Dad. You should check out the family photo album sometime. Those jackets you were sporting back in the 70s were pretty colorful. Paisley polyester, huh?
How do you think I got your mother, huh?
I don't think so.
Now autumn leaves add rich color to Bostick Street as he gets out of his car. He goes to the trunk and takes out his bags. His vanity license plate reads 732. The champion birder enters his now fully renovated home, but finds no one downstairs.
Yes.
Passing a green Jets duffel bag resting on a table, he goes to a nearby room and sets down his stuff. He proceeds into a dining area, plants his hands on his hips, and looks around. Bostick jogs upstairs and strolls along the landing. Arriving at a door, he leans a hand against the frame and peers in.
Frankie?
Frowning, he heads down the hall.
Is that you?
He arrives in the bedroom and glares at his wife.
No.
Under the covers, she stares up at him. He steps away and she rolls onto her back. Now Bostick sits gazing ahead with a heartbroken scowl. In a short nightie and open bathrobe, Jess pads downstairs. She sits on the lower steps, regarding him with a gentle expression.
It's not what you think.
What do I think?
You know what? The Fallucis are taking me to a Jets game. They wanted to get an early start. And when I heard you come in, I figured I'd overslept, because it's not like you've been here any morning in the last 10 months.
Bostic briefly lowers his gaze.
So you haven't slept with them?
No. I'd never do that to you.
You know, fall in love or something?
No. Because believe it or not, I'm still in love with you.
Her arms folded, Jess moves closer to her husband, then takes a seat facing him.
But I can't be married to you anymore.
Jess.
I'm gonna call Frank and tell him that the game's a no-go.
She hurries away. In the forest, the snow falls more heavily. Brad's father stoops wearily as he follows his son through the woods. Brad surveys the trees as he gives bird calls. He notices his father wincing.
You okay?
He lays a hand on Brad's shoulder.
Fine, go ahead.
The younger man regards his father with a concerned frown, then proceeds onward in the gentle snowfall, an oxygen tank peeking from his backpack. As their path takes them uphill, his father slows to a stop.
Brad.
His son faces him boyishly.
Look, I want you to get that bird before it gets dark.
We will.
No. You go on without me.
But...
I'll be fine, okay? Fine. Give me the tank. Come on. Give me the tank.
Brad rolls his eyes, then brings the tank over.
All right. Go get that bird. Go ahead. Go.
Right.
Obeying, Brad glances back at his father.
Go on.
The ailing old man opens the backpack with the Bosticks.
Look, you have every reason to be really upset about the baby thing. That was terrible. I know, I think in the heat of the moment, I just plain choked, but you gotta give someone a second chance.
No.
How can you say you love me and not
because
be willing
Kenny,
to try?
Because, Kenny, it's a good thing that I wasn't married to Gandhi or Mozart, because I just need to be with a guy who'd rather be with me than with anything
else.
Jess, you are. Sure, as long as there's no egret or owl or...
No, come on. Give me a break, Jess. Hold it. That's this year, and then it's over.
It's every year, Kenny. I know you. I know that right now you're in pain, trying to think how you're going to get on your flight to Phoenix without looking like a jerk.
No. I'm really in pain because I really love you, and I'm scrambling to make this work.
Enough not to go to Arizona.
Well, I have to go to Arizona.
Why? Why?
Because right now there's a guy out there named Stu with 730 plus birds, and if I don't get out there, people could say he's the greatest birder of all time, and he's not. This is what I'm great at. This is what I'll be remembered for. No one remembers who comes in second.
I know.
Jess's eyes gleam meaningfully. Bostic lowers his gaze. The two stand apart on opposite sides of the kitchen, now in the forest. In the gentle snowfall, Brad raises his binoculars and peers through them at the surrounding trees. He lowers them and ventures on. Later, he hikes up a path in the darkening woods. He halts abruptly, his gaze suddenly worried.
What are you doing? You idiot! How could you just leave him there?
He hurriedly doubles back. Silhouetted against the snowy woods, he runs back to where he left his father. Looking around, he finds no sign of him. Brad's expression grows frantic and he rushes further down the path. He stops periodically to scan the area for his father, then plunges onward. Brad's searching eyes glisten.
Dad!
His brow furrows fearfully and he races wildly through the darkening wintry forest. Dashing down a ridge, he peers through the snow and finds his father about 20 yards ahead. The old man stoops and sways on his feet. Brad's relieved smile fades and he hurries over to his ailing father.
Dad, are you okay?
With one hand braced against a tree, his father points upward happily. Following his gaze, Brad finds a magnificent dark brown owl perched almost directly overhead. His beaming father claps an arm around him. It gazes down at them serenely. Daytime. At home, Brad groggily rolls over on his bed and answers his cell phone.
Hello.
Hey, Brad! Say moi!
Rio Chama River, New Mexico.
It's me. There's a Pacific storm coming in. A big one. The
This could turn it around for us, buddy.
Now, as Brad and Stu run along a rainy dock, words appear. November 27th, day 331. They spy a sign printed on turkey-themed stationery. No birding today. Happy holidays.
Is today?
I don't believe it.
Now in a car.
How could you not know? Didn't your wife mention it was Thanksgiving?
She doesn't like to rub it in when the holidays roll around and she knows I'm in a motel somewhere sitting around in my boxers. Same thing happened last 4th of July.
Okay, well, 4th of July is one thing, but Thanksgiving, make the next left.
Well, hey, Mr. Computer Genius Guy, don't you have a calendar on that thing? Didn't your folks tell you?
All my dad talks about is that damn owl.
Now Annie opens a door with a wreath on it.
Remind me to come over to your house on Christmas.
We're trying to catch Bostic, and you're our only...
She slams the door in their faces.
Were you going to say help?
As the two friends start to leave the porch, the door flies open behind them.
That pig's doing another big year.
Brad and Stu nod, now on Annie's boat.
It was epic. 4 Siberian species, 2 from China, and 1 from Japan.
So what's your total?
734, Dad. A new record. I'm gonna kick his ass.
Monterey, California. On a beach, Crane watches Bostic. Later, Brad reads his blog.
Bostic didn't have his usual cocky air. He was intense, tired, all business. Frankly, he looked like a guy who was trying to catch up.
Brad uses his cell phone.
So what do you think?
He's heard it through the grapevine that Annie took us out on Thanksgiving. Annie made sure of that. So yeah, maybe he's scared. On the other hand, maybe he's shooting for some ridiculous number and won't slow down till he gets there.
What's your ridiculous number?
740?
745? I mean, the guy is crazy.
Now as Bostic drives in a snowstorm, words appear. December 24th, Duluth, Minnesota. He mumbles silently to himself, then peers out his windshield and shifts his pensive gaze. Now in a Chinese restaurant, he struggles with his chopsticks. A waiter brings a fork.
Here, try a fork.
Okay, thank you.
The waiter starts to step away.
Hey, you guys want to come sit with me? I feel bad you're working on Christmas. Come on.
Later, two waiters eat with him.
Why are you here? Why not with family?
Chewing, Bostic shifts his gaze.
Snowy Owl, Chan. Been up and down the Saxon Bog looking for him. It's the only breeding bird in North America that's eluded me.
Chan questions his female colleague, who shrugs.
I'd like to see the birds of China one day. You know anything about that?
Peking duck?
Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas.
Through a window, we watch Bostic raise his teacup to his companions. At home, Stu strides briskly from his office. Words appear, December 29th, day 363. Stu returns to his office and answers a phone.
Hey, Barry. Happy holidays. You and Jenny in St. Bart's again this year?
Not exactly. We all had to cancel our vacations. Looks like we've been outshriked.
What?
We're being bought by 3M.
Yeah, here's the thing, Stu.
You may want to sit down for this. Looks like Simon Ross is stepping down as CEO, and they want you to take over.
Stu, you started this company in your garage. You made it something big. Now you have the chance to run one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah, it's what they call a lot of money. But more than that, obviously. Your big year, it's coming to a close. Do you really want to face the abyss?
Barry mouths nice to Jim, who shrugs. Through a window, Stu tenderly watches Edith approach the house.
The answer is yes, Jim.
Yes, you'll do it?
The two cronies pump their fists.
Yes. I want to face the abyss.
No!
No, 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 no.
Stu.
Don't say that. Don't say something you don't mean.
But I do mean it. I really do.
I think we need to come there and show you this offer face to face.
Absolutely.
Can't do it, guys. Gotta help a friend find a bird.
Those freaking birds.
December 30th, in the mountains.
When are you gonna tell me what we're chasing?
We're going on a wild goose chase. A goose with little pink feet.
Ah, you're crazy. Have you noticed the snow? That goose is in Scotland by now.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But my friend Jeff Shaw swears he saw it up here yesterday.
Just out of curiosity, what's Jeff Shaw smoking? Because I'd like to get me some of that.
Stu leads his friend up a snowy path.
Wait, did you hear that? Pink-footed goose, I heard it. Come on.
They proceed over a high ridge. Stu taps Brad's shoulder and points. They stop at the crest of a snowy hill and use their binoculars.
Looks like somebody's found a warm place to spend the winter. Wow.
A goose bathes in a hot spring.
What does that give you?
741.
Stu lowers his binoculars and faces him.
That, my friend, is a very big year.
Brad grins and lifts his arms triumphantly.
Hey.
Stu hugs him. Yards away, the rare goose stands on a rock, its pink feet exposed. Now outside a rustic lodge, a camera flashes in the nearby woods. Bostic emerges from the forest and passes the lodge. As he scribbles in a notebook, words write out below, December 31st, Snowy Owl. He glances back at people embracing each other on the lodge's porch, then ventures onward. At Stu's house, snow frosts the branches of the surrounding trees. Inside, the retired businessman clinks glasses with his son, his arm around his wife. Now a TV shows the Times Square celebration. Our view sweeps around, revealing Brad's parents' living room. The older couple dozes on the couch while Brad sits in a chair next to them. He gets up and steps away from his sleeping parents as he answers his cell phone.
Hello? Wimbrel.
Yep. I just wanted to say Happy New Year.
Oh, well, Happy New Year to you. What are you doing?
Oh, you know, watching TV by myself. Darren and I broke up.
Lowering the phone, Brad dances victoriously on his parents' back porch.
I am so sorry to hear that.
He allows a joyful grin.
Did you just do a victory dance?
No. Maybe. Yes, I did. I did not a victory dance so much as a dance of celebration.
Our view drifts up to the sky and finds two large birds flying in silhouette against the full moon. Daytime. A mail truck pulls away from Stu's house. Stu comes out through the automatically opening gates and collects the bundled delivery. He pulls off a rubber band and sorts through it on his way back to the house. Stu slows to a stop as he comes to a magazine titled Birding. A banner across one corner reads, Big Year Results, page 46. Later.
Have you seen the results?
They're in. Okay. Did I win?
Bostic got 755 birds, Brad.
755? Son of a bitch! That's shocking.
I know, it's not quite human. But you are second. How amazing is that? A full-time job and you're second?
And you're third?
Fourth. What can I say? I waited too long to do it.
No, you didn't. Don't say that. Then you would have done it some other year. And really, we won.
What do you mean?
We won, Stu. I don't know how else to put it.
I don't just mean I wouldn't have come in second without you, although that's true. I mean...
Brad faces Ellie.
I don't know. He got more birds, but we got more everything. Do you know what I mean?
Stu tenderly faces his wife, who smiles back at him.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you, Stu. Have I said thank you?
Hey, for what?
Congrats.
Take care, buddy.
Brad ends the call and approaches Ellie.
Yep. Looks like you'll be spending the weekend with the second best birder in the world.
Ellie joyfully runs to him. Brad scoops her up in his arms and spins her around in a warm embrace. At Stu's, Edith joins her husband at a window and rests her chin on his shoulder.
Boston.
They both smile.
5 months later, the sooty shearwater begins his migration all over again, flying north to Hawaii.
Now Stu walks outdoors carrying a toddler.
Completely retired now, Stu spends the summer hiking in the Rockies with little Stu, who seems to share his grandfather's passion.
Hey, look at that. That's a male golden. In a couple of months, it's going to turn all yellow.
Little Stu smiles in a Chinese temple.
To celebrate his victory, Bostic goes to China.
He stands in a round doorway overlooking a beautiful landscape, his thoughtful gaze focused on a happy couple with a baby.
Only he knows the price he's paid to be the greatest birder in the world.
He looks away pensively. Now sunlight gleams on choppy water as Brad and Ellie arrive at the edge of a rocky coast.
Me? I still go birding most weekends.
Through binoculars, we watch gulls.
But the truth is,
I don't pay as much attention to the birds anymore.
Lowering his binoculars, Brad regards Ellie affectionately as she happily watches the birds. Words appear. To set the big year record, Kenny Bostick saw 755 different species of birds, including hummingbirds. The handwritten label accompanies snapshots of the tiny birds. Morpho will show auklets. Images of woodpeckers, flycatchers, and ducks stack on top of each other. Remaining opening titles. Fox 2000 Pictures presents A Red Hour Films Deuce 3 Sunswept Entertainment Production, a David Frankel film. The series of photos shows more of Bostick's sightings, from swooping hawks to sparrows perched on branches. Steve Martin, Jack Black, Owen Wilson, The Big Year. Snapshots display sandpipers, robins, tanagers, swallows, godwits, chickadees, and finches. Brian Dennehy, Angelica Houston, Rashida Jones, Rosamund Pike, Diane Wiest, JoBeth Williams, Anthony Anderson, Corbin Burnson, Gary Shabaka Henley, Joel McHale, Tim Blake Nelson, Jim Parsons, Kevin Pollock, Nate Torrance, Stephen R. Weber. More labels mark vireos, towhees, warblers, and wrens. Casting by Marjorie Simkin. Costume designer Monique Prudhomme. Music supervisor Julia Michaels. Music by Theodore Shapiro. Co-producer Brad Van Aragon. Film editor Mark Lavolsi, ACE. Production designer Brent Thomas. Director of Photography, Lawrence Scherr. Executive producers, Carol Fenelon, Ben Stiller, Jeremy Kramer. Produced by Karen Rosenfeld, Stuart Kornfeld, Curtis Hansen. Bostick's list continues with grosbeaks, eagles, kingfishers, terns, thrashers, owls, and nuthatches. Inspired by the book by Mark Obmasek. Screenplay by Howard Franklin. Directed by David Frankel. Photos show rails, orioles, buntings, eiders, peewees, juncos, blackbirds, and geese. More credits. Unit Production Manager J. Michael Williams. First Assistant Director Jim Brebner. Second Assistant Director Mark Bunting. Snapshots flash gnatcatchers, grouses, herons, longspurs, plovers, kingbirds, and quails. Made in association with Dune Entertainment and Ingenious Media. We see pictures of jays, thrushes, doves, titmice, pigeons, vultures, nutcrackers, and mockingbirds. Cast in order of appearance. Jack Black as Brad Harris. Zaf Peru as Prasad, John Cleese as historical montage narrator, Owen Wilson as Kenny Bostick, Rosamund Pike as Jessica, Steve Martin as Stu Chrysler, Kevin Pollock as Jim, Joel McHale as Barry Loomis, JoBeth Williams as Edith, Paul Campbell as Tony, Cindy Busby as Susie. The list continues with parakeets, teals, scops, yellowthroats, sapsuckers, waxwings, widgeons, red starts, larks, turnstones, and egrets. Greg Keane as Computer Birder, Eva Allen as Birder's daughter, Bill Dow as Dr. Paul Elkins, Barry Shabaka Henley as Dr. Neil Kramer, Diane Wiest as Brenda, Brian Dennehy as Raymond, Anthony Anderson as Bill Clement, June Squibb as Old Lady, Craig Bockhorn as Lawyer, Jim Parsons as Crane, Angelica Houston as Annie Ocklett, Rashida Jones as Ellie, Tim Blake Nelson as Fuchs, more of Bostick's sightings. Coots, mergansers, kestrels, kites, dowitchers, cardinals, gulls, redpolls, giscadees, bobolinks, magpies, pipits, and avocets. Joey Oresco as Frank Falucci. Ryan Caltagirone as Frank Jr. Al Roker as New York weatherman. Christopher Mann as security guard. Jan Boss as local newsman, Pie Island. Kate Gedge-Dossick as local newswoman, Pie Island. William Samples as British tourist. Scott Patey as birder, High Island. Marcy T. House as troop leader, Michael Bean as waiter, Stephen R. Weber as Rick McIntyre, Chris Redman as Scott. The snapshots continue with cowbirds, grebes, oyster catchers, dippers, phoebes, crows, flickers, ptarmigans, pelicans, and albatross. Bostick's tally appears, 755. Devin Weigel as Karen, Andrew Wilson as Mike Shin, Gabrielle Rose as Mary Swit. Callum Worthy as Colin Debs, Doreen Ramos as CB announcer, Terrence Kelly as Pete Shackelford, Steve Darling as Anchorage weatherman, John Frankel as Anchorage anchorman, David Lewis as Lanky Birder, Kath DeGray as motel manager, Jesse Moss as Darren, Morgan Brayton as ferry ticket seller, Corbin Burnson as Gil Gordon, Sheila McGill as nurse, Nate Torrance as Ted Simkin, Vina Sood as nurse Katie, DJ Jackson as parking attendant, Calvin Lee as Chinese waiter, Shearing Gary as Chinese waitress. Copyright 2011 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. Copyright 2011 TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. This motion picture is inspired by true events. However, characters, names, businesses, and certain locations and events have been fictionalized for dramatic purposes. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH